Zelensky's campaigners have recently decried the Biden administration's approval of more than $5 billion in missile sales to Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, a move that came weeks after U.S. President Joe Biden visited the leaders of both countries, despite pleas from human rights defenders. The U.S. Department of Defense said the U.S. State Department approved $3.5 billion sale of 300 Raytheon Patriot MIM-104E missiles to Saudi Arabia, as well as 96 Lockheed Martin Terminal High Altitude Area Defense (TAAD) missiles worth $2.25 billion for the UAE. The move came just after the extension of United Nations brokered truce in Yemen, where a U.S.-backed, Saudi-led coalition that includes the UAE is waging a war against Yemeni people. The sales approval also comes days ahead of a virtual Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries OPEC ministerial meeting. The Pentagon claimed that the proposed sales will support the foreign policy goals and national security objectives of the United States by improving the security of a partner country that is a force for political stability and economic progress in the Persian Gulf region. However, anti-war voices argued that such sales will only prolong a seven-year war in which more than 300,000 people have been killed, millions have been displaced, and millions more face hunger and disease in what's widely considered the world's worst humanitarian crisis. Yemeni independent journalist Naseh Shaker tweeted that U.S. professions of commitment to peace in his war-ravaged nation are belied by the Biden administration's desire to sell weapons to Saudi Arabia, who will use them in its aggression on Yemen. The missile deals came weeks after U.S. President Joe Biden made a contentious visit to Saudi Arabia, where he met with Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, Emirati President Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan, and other regional leaders, despite pleas from human rights defenders who drew attention to the coalition's alleged and documented war crimes in Yemen and the Saudi monarchy's repressive domestic rule. A now infamous photo of Biden fist-bumping bin Salman stood in stark contrast with then-candidate Biden's campaign promise to make Saudi Arabia a pariah over the gruesome murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi and other human rights crimes. After taking office, Biden temporarily froze arms sales to the country and the UAE and announced the offensive support ban. However, human rights defenders subsequently expressed disappointment when the U.S. administration approved a $650 million air-to-air missile sale to the Royal Saudi Air Force and a $500 million support services contract for Saudi military helicopters. Biden's July trip also followed reports that his administration is considering lifting its amorphous prohibition on the sale of offensive U.S. weaponry to Saudi Arabia. Raytheon shares, which have soared more than 250% since U.S. launched the so-called War on Terror in September 2021, were up slightly on the news of the recent approval. Lockheed Martin's stock rose over 2% and is up more than 800% since 9/11.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint,
a critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint on RIB English Radio. In such a program, we criticize the movies, not purely artistically, of course. We criticize the Hollywood movies content-wise. So for that purpose, in fact, we chose a very controversial topic, which is somehow displayed in a couple of movies here and there. It was Jinn, which was produced in 2014, directed by Ajmal Zahir Ahmad, that we have actually started criticizing from a couple of episodes ago. And now we are continuing to criticize it. But before that, let's take a listen to a part of this movie, and then we'll be back with the questions about it.
There's a sect of Jinn called the Shayateen, worshippers of Satan. These Shayateen are very powerful. Even the rest of the Jinn are afraid of them.
If they're so powerful, how can I fight them?
Men of strong will, heart, and mind can sense them. Stronger men can fight them, and the strongest
can destroy them.
Back to the program Viewpoint on RIB English Radio, with me, Mama Jad, hosting, and Sister Asma and Sayyid Abdullah, being my guest speaker in the studio. We are criticizing the movie Jinn, produced in 2014, directed by Ajmal Zahir Ahmad. And you just listened to a part of it. And here's a question, Sister Asma. You know, in that part, there is a sect of Jinn. There is the talk. And they are talking about that as if there exists a sect of Jinn called Shayateen. Mm-hmm. Worshippers of Satan. So they call the Shayateen as the worshippers of Satan. So as Sayyid Abdullah was talking about, Satan is like as if it's their leader.
The head of them.
Their head, yeah. They are so powerful that the rest of the jinn are afraid of them. So this is one of their characteristics of the Shayateen, mm-hmm. right? But men with a strong will, they say, in the movies, mm-hmm. with a strong will, heart and mind can fight them back.
Yes.
All right? Or sense them and destroy them is it really true, like, when we are talking about Shayateen, we are talking about a special sect of jinns which is really more powerful than the other or the rest of them, and then you know, there's only let's say we have, like, let's say, and also the men, according to this idea again presented by this movie, reflected
yes,
here.
Yes, of course, because also we have it in the Holy Quran that when Shaitan is talking to God, he tells him that I will deceive them all except those who are real believers.
Mm-hmm.
So that is very true. Those human beings who have nurtured themselves in a way that they have such a pure heart and they have such a strong will, and they are they have such a power to control every passion in themselves,
mm-hmm.
then they could be able to fight all the evil things that is around them or that is surrounding them. So I totally believe with that. That was a very nice quote, of course, of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Men of a strong mind, free will, and heart will be able to fight them.
Yeah.
Yes, that's
sense
true.
Sense them and find them and spot mm-hmm. them and fight them back, right?
Yes.
Why is it that they, you know, get the power, like, more than human beings?
Is
it their creation? Is one of their traits that God created more powerful than men?
Not that they are more powerful. They have some special features for themselves because, you know, they do not, I think, again, I emphasize on that point that I think, and personally, I believe that they do not have the ability to create things. Therefore, they have some special features to help themselves living in this world because they're not going to use their brain and build factories or create cars for themselves. That's why they have been created in a way that they mm-hmm. could fly even quicker than a car.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, a plane, whatever.
I see.
So those special features is according to their life, mm-hmm. the way they live.
I see. Okay, let's take a short break again by listening to another part of the movie Jinn, produced in 2014, and then we'll be back with this question. Don't go away.
Father, what was he?
Gabriel is a jinn. One of the few that work for humanity. Who do you think brought you to me when your parents were killed?
Back to the program Viewpoint on RIB English Radio. We are criticizing the movie Jinn, 2014 version, of course. Sayyid Abdullah, according to this part, you know, Sean now understands that Gabriel is a jinn in that part where, you know, Gabriel actually glows in his eyes. It's like blue, you know, blue eyes, and then
turns into a vampire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. Again, another dramatic feature, if you will. After his sacrifice, of course, he sacrificed himself, and then he looked like a human being, you know, and a good one, of course, like a guardian, didn't he? Can we see genies, first of all, and what kind of shape do they take? Like this one, Gabriel?
When it comes to jinn, because they are transparent, right? Like among the properties that's been given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that they can take any shape they want. So they are not materialistic, but they can make themselves appear to us with a shape.
Mm-hmm.
So the reality, their actual shape is unknown to us, nor would our brains be able to comprehend it. Same thing with angels. You know, like we said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam was able to see Jibreel in his actual form twice. Oh. And every time he sees him, he would go unconscious. And we're talking about the Prophet here.
Yeah.
So twice he was able to see Jibreel.
The strongest man
yeah.
in terms of spirituality.
Exactly. And he could not comprehend how Jibreel looks in his actual form. So when it comes to jinn, with their actual form, our brains will not be able to comprehend it. So what they do is, if they are summoned, if they want to themselves, they can take a shape of a human being or shape of an animal or shape of whatever they want.
Of any shape they like?
Any shape they like, because they're not materialistic.
Yes, so because in the movie he turned into the shape of his wife.
Yeah.
The hero's wife.
Yeah, so they can take any shape they want because they are not what do you call
such
it?
Such a good feature they have.
Yeah, and
they don't have the limit, the material limits.
They, exactly, they're not limited by materialists, yes. by material, so they can take any form. And even what, you know, because this is, will take us somewhere else. For example, those who get married, the human who get married from jinn,
mm-hmm.
right? So, for example, that will take a female shape and stuff like that. So you can call them shapeshifters if you want. I mean,
yeah,
I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that term.
Yeah,
they just have the ability to change their shapes. You know what I mean? Like for Jibreel alayhi salam, every time he comes to earth, he will take a shape. And there's a particular sahabi called Abdullah al-Duhi, I forgot his name. So this guy was so beautiful at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Jibreel used to take his form. So every time the Prophet says, every time you see me with al-Duhi, I forgot his name, he's like, do not come near me, right?
Uh-huh.
So they take a form which is pleasant to you. You know what I mean? So yes. Usually we are human beings, so we interact with a human being. Sometimes they take, if they want to scare you off, they will take different forms, like the forms that you wouldn't even imagine.
I see.
Just to scare you off. So they have this ability. This is one of their properties.
So if they take the form of a normal, average human being, then how would we be able to discern them? That this is a gene,
See, the thing is, like, they don't do that. I mean, they don't just take a shape of a human being and walk around us. Put it this way. It actually hurts them being around us.
Oh.
It's pain for them.
Why?
Because it's not their realm. It's not their natural existence.
The way we feel toward them.
Yeah, so see, for example, I have a form right now. I have a form. Imagine if you want to make me and turn me into something else that is not me.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be extremely painful, right? To mold me into something else, mm-hmm. which is not my nature. So, for example, we talk about the people who go to space. If you heard the astronauts, they say it's extremely painful in space because the entire system says to you, "What am I? Nothing is working the way it's supposed to."
And when they are back,
so they have a lot of pain.
Yeah, when they are back, even the astronauts, the story of the astronauts. I've seen a documentary. Some of them, like, it takes a year for them to adapt again to
go back to normal.
To be back to normal, so to the atmosphere of the earth, you know, and to walk normally.
Yeah, so it's painful. So jinn don't take pride and pleasure in working with us.
It's not that worthy for them.
Yeah, no, it's just not their thing. So if they do, they will exist with us, but they're not. They don't have to take a shape. They only take a shape if they've been forced to, or they're trying to make a point, for example.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason. Otherwise, in all natural cases, they don't want to take any shape. They take their own shape.
Yeah, I see. Well, let's take a short break by listening to, again, another part, and then we'll be back criticizing this movie, Jinn, produced in 2014. Don't go away.
What? You know what that is?
No, but the priest who arranged for us to adopt you, he made us promise that you'd always wear your necklace, and there was something about a verse and the jinn. I don't know. I always thought it was a good luck charm or something.
Hey, what was his name?
Westhoff.
Back to the program Viewpoint on RIB English Radio with me, Mohammed Jawad, hosting this program, and Sayyid Abdullah, my guest speaker, as well as Sister Asma, my other guest speaker in the studio. We are talking about the movie Jinn, produced in 2014, directed by Ajmal Zahir Ahmad. In that part, Sister Asma, there is a talk about a necklace worn by Sean, you know, mm-hmm. as if some kind of a
protection.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There is this verse about the jinn in it, you know. It's been, I guess, written in that like necklace or hidden in it. As you might have heard, like in some cultures, especially our culture or the Muslim culture, where there is an encounter or at least with the concept, if not the genies, in their realities, you know, or mm-hmm. whatever forms they take, usually there is talk of like these verses or necklaces or rings or knives, you know,
yes.
and metal stuff, mm-hmm. to like fend off the genies,
the
you know,
genies, yes.
As reflected in those rumors, you know, whatever take, you know, forms that they may take, whatever it is. But if you just hold, for example, a knife around you or a metal stuff, or, for example, some of these chapters of the Holy Scriptures or the verses in whatever forms, all right, mm-hmm. or shapes, then you'll be somehow, you know, safe, on the safe side.
Yes.
Is that true?
Well, if I want to talk on a specialized format, then I would say maybe yes, because there has been some suggestions on that, some advices on doing that.
Mm-hmm.
We have been hearing a lot of things since we were since we were little kids. They told us that if you wear this, then this would protect you from that. And if you do this, then it would protect you from the evil eyes, then blah, blah, blah. So a lot of things like this. When they say a lot of these sort of things and they have a sort of a background in our heritage, Islamic heritage, then there must be a thing for that.
Mm-hmm.
We have been advised on that. They wear some special rings and some special stones, and they believe that they're going to protect you, or they're going to be a sort of, I don't know how to put it. It's not, even if it's not just for protection, it's like a good amen for you.
Mm-hmm.
They use it just like that. Yes, I believe in that.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, Sayyid Abdullah, for your nice contribution to the program Viewpoint. We have talked about and criticized the movie Jinn, produced in 2014, directed by Ajmal Zahir Ahmad in this episode and the previous episodes. And inshallah, we'll continue criticizing this movie because we haven't come to an end of the critique of this movie. And we leave you in Allah's care. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here is a wise statement to contemplate upon from Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, prior to his martyrdom, while addressing the people of feeble faith who go back on their words. You are missing your chances and losing your lot. The one who breaks his oath breaks it at his own peril. Allah will certainly compensate me if you leave me.
This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Many people develop deeper relationship with four-legged animals, treating them like their own kids. A Kenyan conservationist is one of them. 33-year-old Salome Le Mesurier has been a community ranger in Sierra Conservancy, northern Kenya, since 2015. The mother of four is stationed at a rhino sanctuary and is in charge of protecting a male rhino named Loijipo. At just a few days old, Loijipo was abandoned by his mother, possibly due to her being spooked by something. After being cared for, he was returned to the sanctuary under surveillance in an attempt to rewild him. 3 years on, from his release into Sierra Wilderness, he is taking his time to carve out his territory, of course, with the help of Salome. The chess fever in the southern Indian city of Chennai is on a peak as the 44th International Chess Olympiad kicks off there. Students created a mammoth chessboard on the playground and dressed up as 32 chess pieces to promote the game. For 2 weeks, Chennai is hosting nearly 2,000 players from 188 countries. For the first time in nearly 100 years of history of the Chess Olympiad, India is playing host. The event will run until August the 10th. Ahead of the game, 150 underprivileged children from various government schools were given the opportunity to fly. These were the students who won in a district-level chess tournament. Excited spectators gather at the Solberg Airport in the U.S. for the 39th New Jersey Lottery Festival of Ballooning.
We have about 45 balloons here today, including these spectacular special shapes. Our signature New Jersey Lottery Sunny Days balloon. You can see the tiger. Unicorn is hiding behind there. Tasmanian Devil, unique photo panda. We are having a spaceship. There's Billy the Kid. Spectacular presentation. You won't believe your skies this weekend.
Dozens of hot air balloons were test-inflated in preparation for the real deal. The festival is considered the largest summertime event in New Jersey. Reddington City officials have predicted about 170,000 people will join the festival over the weekend. Weather forecasts say the sky are gentle enough for over 100 balloons to take flight in the morning and evening in mass ascents. And no one is more excited than the festival producer, who has been planning the event for months.
Including these spectacular special shapes, the balloons bring out the kid in everyone. You know, I've done this for a long time. This is the 39th annual one. But still, when I hear that propane whirring and these balloons going up, it makes the hair on my arm stand up.
The producer says these balloons will be handled by professional pilots and other balloons will be available for rides. The festival will last for 3 days, ending with food vendors, games, amusement rides, and other entertainment. There will also be a massive fireworks display as well as a nighttime feature of glowing balloons. The annual festival is the largest seasonal hot air balloon festival in North America. It draws in thousands of visitors every year.
You might think twice about throwing out your old trainers after this story. A startup in Tunisia breathes new life into old shoes as artists restore and even customize the footwear. The new business is called Kenenti and is located in the capital, Tunis. Here, the team uses fabrics, laces, and leather recovered from various factories for the repair work. The creative artists work on every detail during each project, even the soles of the shoes. The work aims to find solutions to shoe waste and reuse items instead of adding them to the world's landfills. Cherif Zeroui is the co-founder of Kenenti. He says the idea came to him 2 years ago when he discovered the number of shoes thrown away each year in Tunisia.
Of
In France, there were 100 million pairs of shoes thrown away every year. This is a huge figure for us, and for the ecosystem and for the earth. In Tunisia, it's almost the same given the population. There were 3 or 4 million shoes thrown away every year. So we thought of giving added value to these shoes, so we restored them.
Zerbouy also says he is happy to create jobs for those willing to participate regardless of the educational degree. Besides shoes, these artists dabble in restoring worn-out handbags, giving them a brand new look. Many of the artists and interns say they are proud to be part of this unique project. They say they feel like a family there. The startup is the first training restoration business to be launched in North America.
Would you buy a pair of scrap tire sandals? Well, in the Vietnamese capital, Hanoi, you will find all kinds of handmade sandals from recycled tires. The famously rugged footwear of the Viet Cong have traveled vast distances over the decades. Shoemakers use sharp knives and chisels to craft a sandal from huge tires. For those seeking a nod to yesteryear, the hard-sole sandals are available at markets and small stores alike, with prices ranging from $2,000 to $1,000. The Vietnamese first began making rubber sandals in the late 1940s during the first Indochina War against the French, using tires from ambushed army trucks. They found the sandals were cheap to make and survive well in wet, muddy and hilly conditions. Even in peacetime, the design remains popular for sustainability reasons.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Living through a pandemic is strange as we are often locked indoors, but a UK-based Indian mechanical engineer made the best use of his time during the coronavirus lockdown and built an airplane. 38-year-old Ashok Ali Serial, who is also a private pilot, had long dreamt of a personal aircraft. He initially planned to order an aircraft kit and built it with his colleagues, but he says the 2020 lockdown left him with no choice but to complete it on his own. Now he has an aircraft which he has named after his youngest daughter, Dia. The plane can carry up to 4 people, including the pilot, and fly about 250 kilometers an hour. After getting clearance to fly, he flew across 4 European countries with his friends. He has also gone on a trip with his family of 4. Some gardens are decorated with genomes and other cute ornaments, but this garden uses tank debris to stand out amongst others. The intention of the gardener isn't to have the most army-themed patch. Valeria tried to remove the tank, but ultimately because of its size and weight, it was impossible. So he just let it stay. The owner says he is used to having the tank there, even though it reminds him of hard times. Next to the wreckage, this family has planted cabbage and potatoes, which they harvest and use each year. The tank was left over from the war between Russia and Ukraine that began earlier this year. British paleontologists have made an exciting fossil discovery which has been identified as the earliest known animal predator.
It's quite a large fossil. It's the preserved part is at least 20 centimetres tall, and it would have lived attached to the seafloor bottom. But it's a broken specimen, so we actually don't know how large the entire colony is. This is only a fragment of it.
Wilby says the animal had a stalk and a cup on top with little tentacles, which most likely used to catch food out of the water. The ancient animal is related to sea anemones, jellyfish and corals, and pushes the known existence of these species back to 20 million years. Wilby explains the fossil displays a key point in the evolution of animal. The fossil is said to be around 560 million years old and was discovered in Charnwood Forest, northern England, amongst over 1,000 other fossils.
Iran's city of Rafsanjan has hosted an international talent contest dubbed Stage Stars. The event is aimed at providing a chance for stage talents from across the world to come in the spotlight. Yusuf Jalali reports from Rafsanjan. Let's check it out.
This is a global stage for talents. The fifth International Stage Stars Festival wrapped up with the announcement of winners, who have been competing in four categories of singing, voice acting, show hosting, and sound impression. The top performances from each category won the golden mic and a cash prize.
The festival was a place for more serious competition between those who have a say in a stage performance. I'm so happy to be chosen by the jury as the best show host of the contest.
It was an amazing event for talents. I'm so glad to be part of this. Talents from all across Iran and many parts of the world competed in the festival, so winners should be proud of themselves.
Held in Iran's city of Rafsanjan, the two-day event brought together participants from 14 countries, including Iran, Afghanistan, Kyrgyzstan, Nigeria, and Turkey, to flaunt their neck for stage performance.
The scale of this contest is global. Many of us participants did not have any idea we could be stand-up comedians or show hosts. But when we got on stage here, we ourselves discovered our own talents.
I really love that, seeing that people around the world are coming here and presenting themselves. It's a very great feeling. Of course, they will be progressed and they will develop yourself when they will got the result.
The jury is comprised of top Iranian actors, TV presenters, and voice artists. They say the competition has been tough, and those who stood out are real stage stars.
We tried our best to pick talents who really acted like professionals on stage. Not only should they care about the standards and principles of a stage performance, but they must innovate, improvise, and stand out.
This festival acted like a university for stage talents. It taught a lot of lessons about the stage to participants, especially for those who failed to win the contest.
Organizers say this contest is not just about scouting for stage talents. They say the event helps shine a spotlight on talents and lead them to their community.
The fifth Stage Stars Festival is aimed at bringing stage talents to light. Many of the participants already have a few years of experience, so this stage is not supposed to discover them, but to springboard them to a higher level in their careers.
All of the contestants, even those who come from foreign countries, must perform in Persian. However, organizers plan to include other languages in the upcoming editions of the festival.
To those who won the golden mic here, this is a dream come true. But they say, aside from the prize, Stage Stars has marked a milestone in their pursuit of success, since they have now come under the spotlight. Yusuf Jalali from the city of Rafsanjan.
Children saying is the light of guidance and the ship of salvation.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salamun Alaikum. This is today's special, we're going to speak about the movement of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. I invite you to listen to this episode of today's special. Accept our condolences on martyrdom anniversary of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him.
As-salamu alayka ya Sayyida Shuhada. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله.
Today, Friday, is the 7th of Muharram, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 14th of Mordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 5th of August, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter Fajr, verses 1-5.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
والفجر.
By the dawn.
وليال عشر.
And by the 10 nights, and by the even number and the odd, and by the night when it passes, is there not in all that an oath sufficient for one of perception?
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
A tradition from Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, says, recite Surah Fajr, which is Hussein ibn Ali's Surah, in your prayers. Whether they be obligatory or optional, he who recites it will be with him, with Hussein ibn Ali, at the same place in heaven on the Day of Judgment. Introducing this surah as Hussein ibn Ali's surah may be for the reason that the clear example of Sarin's soul, as mentioned at the end of the surah, is Hussein ibn Ali, as idea has also been cited from Imam Sadiq about the same verses.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio.
People rise up and mourn. It is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein in the Kabbalah.
From the 1st of Muharram, with today's special on the topic, the movement of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. One of the important lessons of Ashura is to beware of coming to a bad ending in our lives. Some of the companions of Ali ibn Abi Talib participated in killing Imam al-Hussein. There are many people like this in history who have been cursed by the Imams and who were once their companions. All of us have to beware of the hidden seeds of major corruption, essentially in the area of our beliefs, as one of the signs of the end of time is mental corruption. Some of the causes of this are committing major sins, companionship with corrupt people, profiting from what is forbidden, taking the material world over religion, finding pleasure in the fancy words which the devil distributes to his friends. As the Holy Quran says, the devils inspire their followers to argue with you. Sayyid Abbas Razavian.
Assalamu alaykum ya Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Brothers and sisters, my condolences for the time period of Muharram and Ashura and for the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Ziyarat Ashura is a great gift to us from Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. In this ziyarat, we learn many things. The first thing that we mentioned was that we learn about bala and calamity, that life has difficulties and challenges for us, and that we learn from Imam Hussein alayhi salam how to deal with our bala. And we understand that the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam was to endeavor the bala that God had brought for him, the trial that Allah had brought for him, and that he persevered and that he amazed the angels with his patience. Today we're going to talk about another aspect of Ziyarat Ashura, and we read from the Ziyarat that we beseech God and we ask him, أَنْ يُعْطِيَنِي بِمُصَابِي بِكُمْ, to recompense me with my misfortunes for you. We ask Allah to give us recompense because we have made the bala of Imam Hussein our bala. أَفْضَلَ مَا يُعْطِي مُصَابًا بِمُصِيبَتِهِ, the highest that he, God, gives as compensation for misfortunes that has afflicted anyone. Brothers and sisters, when misfortunes happen on somebody, God gives them the reward. But here in Ziyarat Ashura, we are asking Allah to give us the best reward that you give a musab, a person that affliction has happened to him. As if we take the bala of Imam Hussein and we are making it our own bala, we're making it our own calamity. Therefore, we are learning from Ziyarat Ashura to have huzn, to have grief, to have sorrow in this Muharram. And this is an attribute of the faithful. This is the attribute of the sincere. In this Muharram, they are truly grieving for Imam Hussein. They are truly sad for Imam Hussein. This is the second step.
Ya Hussein, Hussein, Hussein.
Lessons of Muharram. Humility forms companionship. Let's see what is in this part. Imam al-Hussein was the grandson of the final and last messenger of Allah and was the son of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, the most revered companion of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny. Yet Abu Abdullah was humbleness personified. He would never think of himself as superior to others. It was his humility that drew many companions toward him, including Hazrat Habib ibn Mazahir, who even at this old age came running to him when the Imam pleaded for help, and it was his humility that had all of his companions itching to die for the Imam, with Hazrat Qasim, peace be upon him, describing his death sweeter than honey. Imam Hussein's humility is something that we should aspire to replicate, as it will allow us to form strong companionship. Let's learn about the golden words of Hussein ibn Ali, peace be upon him. In the book Tuhaful Ughul, we read that Imam Hussein states, "By lying down my life and soul, I will be joined with the righteous. I will stand apart from the accursed and despicable. I will take the path of enmity and opposition to sinner and the guilty. If I remain alive, I will have no regrets. If I die, no one will reproach me." What a disgrace it is for you to be alive and be oppressed and encroach and not be able to defend your own rights. Somewhere else, Imam states, being afraid of death is below me. How easy and simple is death on the way of honor and resurrecting the truth. Death in the way of honor is nothing but eternal life.
So the first step was bala and understanding the calamity of Ashura. The second thing is now grieving, now that you know it is the worst bala that happened upon anybody. And it is the bala that the angels understand. It is the bala of the Ahlul Islam, the people of Islam. We now understand that we should grieve, we should become sad for Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that we should shed tears for him. If we look at the narrations, we understand that all the prophets cried for Imam Hussein. Even Adam, when he understood about what happened to Imam Hussein, he began to cry. One of the stories I'd like to share to you with you today is the story of Prophet Zakariya. Prophet Zakariya was taught the names, the Al-Asma. What are the names? Prophet Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Hassan, and Hussein. He was taught these names. This narration is in the book of Ihtijaj, Al-Ihtijaj of Sheikh Tabarsi. When he learned these names, the name of Imam Hussein was taught to him. It says in the narration that it says, إِذَا ذَكَرْتُ الْحُسَيْنِ تَدْمَعُ عَيْنِي. When I hear this name, Allah, you have taught me the name of Hussein, I begin to cry. And then he learns the story of Karbala. What happens to Prophet Zakariya when he learns about Imam Hussein? What would happen to him? It says, فَلَمَّا سَمِعَ ذَلِكَ زَكَرِيَا لَمْ يُفَارِقْ مَسْجِدَهُ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ. 3 days he kept himself in the masjid. وَمَّنَعَ فِيهِنَّ النَّاسِ مِنْ دُخُولَ عَلَيْهِ. He didn't allow anybody to enter. وَأَغْبَلَ عَلَى الْبُكَاءِ. And he began to cry and cry and cry. Prophet Zakariya, knowing that what happened to Imam Hussein, his brothers and sisters, the reality of Ashura can only be witnessed by the prophets and their successors. They truly know what happened to Imam Hussein. They can truly understand the batin and the essence of Karbala. So what did Prophet Zakariya do dua for? He wanted reward. We say, give us some of the reward of the musab, of those that have been afflicted. Give us some of this reward. He wanted the reward of calamity, of huzn, of patience. So he did a very special dua. He says in this narration, Elahi urzuqni walada. God, grant me a son that I love, a son that I like, and then take away that son for me so that I can in the same way have the affliction of the noble messenger of Allah, that he knows that his son, because in the traditions, the Prophet talks about Imam Hussein as his son, even though it is his grandson, that when Allah took away and put bala in Imam Hussein and martyred Imam Hussein, that is the bala of the Holy Prophet. So in the same way, give me a son so I can share that bala of the Holy Prophet, knowing that his grandson, knowing that his son will be martyred. And Allah gave him Yahya, and Yahya was martyred and is very similar in story and very similar to Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Condolences to all Muslims all around the world on the month of Muharram when Imam Hussein alayhi salam was martyred in the land of Karbala. Dear friend, inshallah, we continue our discussion on the next episode of today's special. Until then, wassalamu alaikum. Allahumma ij'al mahyaya mahyaya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati
ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد.
This is the Heart of Life pounding. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.